This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Tuesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Woo! Have we exhaled? How are they feeling this morning, waking up in the great city of Cleveland? Are they excited about all the new additions coming to Guards Land?
Well, it's different, Dave, when your front office doesn't really do anything to move the needle the last handful of deadlines, and then all of a sudden it feels like you're drinking from a fire hose. We'll obviously dive into all of the deadline moves. I think on the Cleveland front and the American League Central front, hey, the Southsiders were busy. You saw the Minnesota Twins the last couple of days. Like, it was really a very exciting 72 hours and a flurry of moves to finish it off right before 6 p.m. Eastern last night.
Yeah, it really is a great day if you're a baseball fan. And, you know, you're going to see the winners and the losers. And there are some clear, I think, demarcation lines drawn, which teams are going for it, which teams kind of set on the fence, and which teams might have waved that white flag. Got a great show lined up here on this Tuesday. Matt Humans going to join the program as he does each and every Tuesday morning, bright and early later on this hour. Greg Peterson tried to sift through all those trades and figure out who's going to win today on the Major League Baseball docket. We'll get Greg's best bets on the day. And Levi Weaver is going to join the program from The Athletic in hour number three. And again, just kind of sift through everything now that the trade deadline has come and gone. No surprise, Jensen. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
So I guess there were other moves to make after Tarek Skubal went to the Dodgers, and it felt like, oh, wait, come on, now what's going to happen before we get to Monday? I mean, that happened over the weekend at the dead of the night, and now, Jensen, that deadline yesterday, 6 p.m. Eastern, it really did. It felt like a pretty seminal day for certain teams. Again, knowing the landscape of what Major League Baseball could look like next year, I was surprised by some teams, maybe the things they didn't do. And certainly other teams that made some big pushes like the Cubs. We talked about the Guardians a little bit and certainly the Rays with some minor moves. Do you have any initial winners that just jump off the page to you? And we're going to break this down as the show goes in totality, Jensen, but just some top line thoughts from yesterday.
Well, of course, the top prize goes to the Dodgers a couple of days ago in Tarek Skubal. But when you looked at a lot of the starting pitching market, I think a lot of teams really did themselves a service because we obviously know that not only gets you through into a pennant, but also into a postseason spot. So you think of teams, you know, like the San Diego Padres, who get two really impactful guys in Robbie Ray and Casey Mize. You think about what the Brewers did. No, it wasn't Tarek Skubal, and I know there's plenty of consternation about that, but you do get Dustin May, who has been the best starter for the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cubs go out and they get Clay Holmes. They get Braxton Garrett. A lot of different places and a lot of different teams did themselves right. And the position player market, too. I'm still wrapping my head around the package that the Red Sox sent to Baltimore for Adley Rutschman. But again, to get a number one overall selection and a switch hitting catcher at this point, I think on MLB Network TV yesterday, there was a comparison of could this be, and it might have been a great friend of the program, Harold Reynolds, could this be the new Jason Varitek in Adley Rutschman coming in for this year and next year? He's got to work his way back off the injury list here pretty soon, but a lot to break down and a lot of futures impact now. As I've told you, I like to wait until the dust is settled, kind of sleep on it and see where some actionable spots are. We'll definitely have some angles now with 2 months to go before October.
I did pull the trigger on one. We'll get to that a little bit later on in this program as well. After seeing some of those moves that are being made over the weekend, wild kind of 72 hours to get to that trade deadline yesterday with the Phillies, and they get Luis Arraez coming in there, which was interesting because they're like, well, we don't know that we need a lefty bat. They were talking about a righty bat there in Philly, but they do get Arraez, and they certainly like what he can bring to the table. Now he's going to play one position, that's second base, and that causes a big shift in their infield, which is going to move Bryce Harper out of the infield and out of first base and back to the outfield. So, Jensen, we've talked about this before this season with a couple teams. The Mets come to mind here with some of the additions and where a certain guy's going to play. And they say, oh, it's not a big deal. We'll figure it out. What do you make of this whole infield shift here for the Phillies now with the Arraez coming in?
I'm actually okay with it. Listen, Bryson Stott, one of the athletic infielders there for the Philadelphia Phillies, I think actually upgrades the position at third. And now you can kind of shield Alec Bohm, moving him over to first base. Luis Arraez was really working well in San Francisco, yep, at second base. And that was part of sort of the demand that was out there, that if traded, he wanted to remain at second base. He's played first base in the past. Bryce Harper had said in no uncertain terms, I think he even texted Dave Dombrowski, "Hey, I'm happy to go to the outfield. Do what you got to do to make us better." And after the public comments, I think Dave Dombrowski has answered and then some. So the Phillies, one of my winners at the trade deadline. I think they're going to be in great position, and a nice comeback win against the Nationals after falling down early last night too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And it is interesting that Bryce makes those comments very publicly. Hey, we need help. Where do you need it? Everywhere. Like, you know, pitching, offense, you name it. And they go that route, and then said, well, you're going to have to give up first base here in order for us to make this move. So it seems like it's a win-win. Everybody seems happy, at least today in Philadelphia, in the city of brotherly shove. Well, we talk about this a lot in the NFL, that, you know, every day we're going to come on here and probably going to have to tell you about another injury somewhere in camp. And the Bears just had a significant one here with Kobe Bryant. He's going to be out for 8 to 10 weeks at minimum there. And Mike Evans is dealing with a quad strain. They're hoping it's not going to be too serious. We know this on the heels of Ricky Pearsall, who's going to be out for the year there. So, boy, already one on defense and certainly one on offense in San Francisco. You know it's going to be a while until you see Kobe Bryant there in Chicago. They're hoping you're not going to miss a ton of time here from Mike Evans in camp for the Niners.
Yeah, I'll start on the Kobe Bryant front. This, according to Courtney Cronin, injured during one-on-one drills in the first padded practice of training camp, expressed visible frustration before riding in a cart back to the facility. Remember, he was the marquee free agent addition, three-year, $40 million mm-hmm. deal. The Bears needing to replace multiple starters in the secondary. He was going to be one of those guys. So now for the foreseeable future, and you would think the first third of the season with that 8 to 10 week timeline, yeah, that is pretty significant. Are we going to continue to look in San Francisco about the old facility next door to the training camp and be like, all right, is it still rearing its ugly head here? I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist and jump on the bandwagon, but Dave, I'm sorry. Feels like every other day we've had another guy go down in 49ers camp. Will they have enough healthy wide receivers to even take the field in preseason week one? That they're just trying to get, you know, 11 guys out there and some competent ones at that.
I mean, when you look at the videos out there, Jensen, it looks like it's a scene out of a movie. Like, are they really practicing there? Yeah, they really are. There's power lines everywhere. You see everything going on, and we kid about it, but this has been going on for about a year plus now. So very interesting there. You're hoping Mike Evans is going to be okay. By the way, A.J. Brown did dislocate his thumb at Patriots practice yesterday. Did not miss any time, so they don't think that's going to be overly significant. This is significant. If you're going to bet the preseason, again, I'm going to talk to Matt Eumanns later on. I think he's one of the best that we have certainly at the network. He loves to get into the preseason action and look for some of those angles and advantages. Do we see this as one? Kenny Pickett will be the starter Thursday night in that Hall of Fame game here against the Cardinals. So, Jensen, you might not see Pickett in the regular season. I'm sure that's what Carolina, they're hoping that Bryce Young is going to be their guy and everything's good going forward. But it will be Pickett on Thursday to kick off the preseason football slate.
Yeah, really good if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. The daily email from Bill AD, a great little nugget here from Steve Mackin in the historical betting trends. Since 2013, Hall of Fame game underdogs, 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread. That includes 5 consecutive outright victories. So again, we'll kind of see where this number is. It's always tightly contested as far as where that closing number is. So that might be one that, if you just need to have some action on, not that anyone's clamoring to get some NFL on our TV, Dave.
No, but if you're clamoring
to find a way to get in and have a little skin in it, that's a nice little trend from Steve Mackinnon to just go ahead and blindly tail.
Kenny Pickett, not that long ago, was a first-round draft pick, 20th overall by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now several teams later starting the Hall of Fame game here. So life comes at you quickly, certainly in the NFL. Mauricio Pochettino, how about this, signs a new deal to manage U.S. Men's soccer here through the 2030 World Cup. So I would look, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end. It didn't look good in that final match. But I think leading up to it, Jensen, people pretty excited, maybe optimistic now about the future of U.S. men's soccer here. What do you make of this move through the 2030 World Cup?
I like it. Start making your plans for overseas, right? Spain and Portugal, it'll be here before you know it. But you love continuity. You love the drive and the fire that this year's squad showed. And again, you know, they have a couple of mental errors there in that elimination or at least knockout round game against Belgium. But outside of that, I think it showed a pretty big leap forward. So you want to kind of keep that continuity. I love this deal for the men's national team and soccer all of a sudden alive here and a lot of fervor with where hosting the World Cup got a lot of common fans involved. And hopefully in 4 years' time, there's a couple of new standout stars. They're going to be on the pitch there for the starting 11.
This is interesting because there's been a lot of talk about in college sports, not just football, but certainly football seems to take precedent about Notre Dame, USC, and that rivalry is off. Well, Jensen's going to come back. They will start that rivalry again in 2030. But this is also interesting that the proposed Notre Dame in Indiana, think about that proximity now with the rise of Indiana football, is not going to happen there. So you don't get Indiana. Boy, that would have been fun, Indiana, Notre Dame. But you do get SC coming back here in about 4 years in 2030. What do you make of those little Irish moves? Doesn't sound like they're joining a conference anytime soon.
Wake me up when the college football playoff is, what, 36 teams by that time? You know, we'll have a couple of different iterations. I joke. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see where they schedule them. Y'all worried about losses and everything. So we'll see what happens and where that game falls, whether it be in late November like it traditionally has been.
Yo, you kid, but that genie is way out of the bottle. They're going to keep expanding and expanding and expanding some more. The trade deadline, it has come and gone. Winners and losers, they're up next right here. It's VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is over, college football fans, because the College Football Betting Guide is out right here at the network. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today, get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide. It's going to feature all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all of the sharpest minds we have here at the network. Plus, you're going to get the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start it today. Just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. All you have to do is head over to VSiN.com/subscribber right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're going to have Matt Eumanns on in the very next segment. Talk much more about some of the picks he has in that betting guide. Very interesting ratings that Matt has. We'll catch up with Matt here in very short order. But Jensen, yesterday it was the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. I don't know why. As a Metropolitan fan, I knew exactly what was coming for the Mets, and they dealt away, what, nine guys yesterday over the totality of the weekend here. So no surprises there. I guess the big surprise for some out there is Adley Rutschman, that is going to be going from Baltimore to the Red Sox there. You got to get him healthy coming back. And talking to some Red Sox fans, I think, Jensen, the consensus is, okay, maybe they might have overspent for Rutschman, but they went for it. And that Craig Breslow, with this great winning streak in the great month of July, that they had to keep that going and make a push now. And I think fan bases, Jensen, for a large extent, can live with that, even if it doesn't work out. But the fact that you pushed some chips into that middle of that table and took a real chance and pulled your chair up to the big boy table and said, we're here, I think some fan bases this morning, Jensen, wake up and go, I can deal with that.
Oh, any fan base that is in contention would love to see that. And you hope that Adley Rutschman, with the wrist inflammation, able to make it back in short order here off the injured list. But that's certainly that package I know caught my eye. I mean, you look at Anthony Ianson, Kyson Witherspoon was just a first-round selection a year or so ago in the Major League Draft and has a chance to be a pretty significant starting rotation piece for the Orioles moving forward. Indy Azucar and then Carlos Dovias, who had been a starter there in the Red Sox Major League lineup for many a day during each week. So that's a great grab for the Baltimore Orioles, flipping a guy that is only going to be under team control for the Red Sox rest of this year and next year. Not often you see a switch hitting catcher traded, much less a first overall selection just a handful of years ago. I do think there are some other ones, and I'll kind of hit on a little more of the starting pitching as we get going. I told you I wanted to see Kevin Gausman as a Chicago White Sox. I got the side of the city wrong. He's going to be a Chicago Cub, but I think that is a massive get here for the top of that rotation. The offense is fantastic. They have the number one defense in baseball, and knowing that he's got the split monster in Wrigley Field, that is going to get him, I think, right back on track. They will make him look a lot better than what he has been with the Toronto Blue Jays. Tampa Bay Rays continue to Tampa Bay Ray, man. I mean, this was a great ad. I know you were upset for the Marlins side of this because it basically is, you know, their top RBI guy and Liam Hicks that finds his way now into the Tampa Bay lineup. That is going to be a huge addition for their offense to lengthen it. And then Tampa Bay is one of those places, Dave, where their pitching inventory has always been augmented by their system, their analytics, their ability to tweak. And I would imagine that Freddie Peralta, now that he is in the fold, it is not going to take long for Fastball Freddie to get back to the guy that we saw in dominant fashion for the Milwaukee Brewers the last handful of years. So a couple of those definitely stand out as some big time additions for some contending clubs.
Yeah, I was very disappointed what Miami did. And also, you know, you're giving away. I thought, you know, look, they did get a haul for next year. But again, we talk about teams in context of next year. You're a game and a half out of a wild card here if you're Miami and that fan base down there going, why are we getting rid of our top RBI guy? I know there was some redundancy on the left side of the plate, and it does maybe open up some spots here for right-handed hitting, but you really didn't get anything back for this year with some of the deals that Miami made. And I think also that's a little bit perplexing, I guess, if you're a Yankee backer out there. You get Elliot Ramos. I think it's a nice acquisition here from San Francisco late. You saw what Garcia did yesterday with that big home run and the comeback. They couldn't hold it with the bullpen. But did they do enough, I guess, is the question. Because when you juxtapose that with what the Rays did, and you do feel like, and we'll see if Boston makes it a three-headed monster race in the East or if it's just down to those two, did the Yankees, Jensen, do enough at the deadline to run down the Rays, which is what they'd have to do right now?
I don't know if they did, but it still is predicated on internally. They know the rehab timeline better than anyone for Aaron Judge, for Cody Bellinger, you know, for Giancarlo Stanton. And so that probably factored in to where Brian Cashman really stood pat outside of the Luis Garcia Jr. acquisition, which they desperately needed because of his slug and what he's done with the Washington Nationals this year. You know, Elliot Ramos, decent piece. He is terrible defensively in left field, so they'll have to deal with that. But I think just to add a couple additions, more notably the Garcia one, that's really good. I was looking at my futures portfolio because I wanted to kind of compare to where we are in certain prices now that we have the trade deadline behind us. I had originally added the Padres earlier in the season at 20 to 1. They're 30 to 1 right now, so I don't feel too bad about where that price is. The Cubs are at 750, plus 750. I have them earlier in the season at 6 to 1. The Pirates are at 60 to 1. I have them at 25 to 1. These are all to win the National League. But if you had to hit your wagon, and I don't want to give away the store for free if you want to save it for best bets, but I know you said you added a future here. Pennant, make the playoffs. How did you take in or take stock of what you saw after 6 p.m. Eastern last night?
I did a cross border that I'll get into a little bit later on, but I did one singular one that I will not give away here right now. But the one that I added in that cross border was the Padres at plus 250 to make the postseason. Now, again, this is before they made the moves that they did, because I don't think you can get that number any longer. But, you know, I talked about it right here in the program with you for a couple weeks that I just believed that A.J. Preller would not sell. I just didn't think that they would move on from Miller. The back end of that was their prize piece. They kept him, and then they go add starting pitching with Casey Mize and Robbie Ray. I couldn't have been happier once I saw those moves. So it was kind of an educated risk on a number, assuming that they would get help. And they got a lot of help when you get that a big lefty and a big righter there at the front end of that rotation for San Diego. So I really like where that stands, even though they did lose yesterday to the D-backs coming out of the break. And there could be a team they have to try to run down right now in their own division if that wild card race stays the where it is right now. Again, disappointed in the Marlins. I've got a plus 750 ticket on them to make the postseason. I've got value in it because it's down to plus 450, but I don't feel very excited about that after what they did or what they did not do at the trade deadline, trading away a left-handed starter and trading away one of their key bats in that lineup. So, you know, it is interesting for certain teams at the deadline where they were positioned and what they really tell you about. Like, I look at the Astros, and I like Dalton Varsho coming over from Toronto. But again, a really good defensive player, averages down around a 240, I believe, here. They needed a left-handed bat. Is that enough for Houston? They didn't add to the starting rotation, which is a little bit perplexing. So, like, I'm looking at teams like that. Are the Mariners now with Taylor Ward? Is that enough, Jensen, to cure what ails them offensively? It's teams like that that I'm kind of looking at and going, especially in the American League, which I think is as wide open as it gets. We know how we got heavy hitters in the National League with the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Brewers. The American League, it feels like, man, that's why I don't mind the Red Sox overspending to make a push to say we can, not talking about the division, I'm talking about the pennant, that we can go win this thing and be a representative in the World Series. I kind of like some of the moves that some of these teams in the American League did, thinking that it's a little bit more wide open than maybe the National.
So I was trying to see, and again, we kind of like to have some fun with our cross-board parlays, but if we were going to do some World Series exactas just to have some matchups in pocket, if you're going outside of the Dodgers, I still think the Brewers are that team that are the best or the next highest team, even though they are that in the odds. I still think they, in reality, are that prime challenger, that number one contender in UFC terms, Dave. If you wanted to play just a little World Series exacta, Brewers Rays right now, and Fox would absolutely hate that because of the ratings. Two small market clubs, Brewers and Rays. That is 30-1, but looking at a potential Brewers Red Sox is 36-1. I think that's an interesting one to look at. And then, you know, again, everyone's going to be running down the Dodgers on that side. So I would understand if you want to start your build that way. But the Cubs, I think, are going to be an intriguing team there, too. Outside of the Brewers, I think the Cubs have an opportunity here. And I just, for the heck, it was the first one that I clicked, Dave. I clicked Cubs Red Sox World Series 54-1 for that exacta at current odds right now. So that might be a nice little value add if you're looking to play with a little bit of pizza money on where the World Series matchup might end up being come October.
I thought you might go one other area and have deja vu all over again. What years is Cubs and Guardians, Indians back in the day? I thought maybe we'd get that rematch here with the additions that the Guards made yesterday. We'll talk much more about that. But again, Matt Youmans coming up next year in the program. The College Football Betting Guide is out. He's got some interesting teams that he likes. Also, get his thoughts on some of those deals that were done for the Cubs and the Yankees yesterday. That's next. Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
We are back, Beeson by the Books, on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We also look forward to our conversations with the great Matt Youmans. Host of VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, right here in the network. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Matt Youmans 247. Now, we have a lot to get to today. Obviously, the College Football Betting Guide is out. You did Yeoman's work on it. We'll get to some of your picks there. The Major League Baseball trade deadline has now come and gone. Get your thoughts there. I did go to Culver's. I did it the first time ever when I was driving cross-country to Utah on your recommendation, and it was fantastic. I found another one in Kentucky. I went there. And I got the bacon double cheeseburger. It was spectacular. I added a side of broccoli, and I think I started World War III on Twitter. I'd just like to formally apologize to you, Matt, because I know that was repulsive when you saw the video and the picture on Twitter.
Yeah, it was tough to see. I'm going to be honest with you that I could not look at the photo twice. So that there's probably nothing I hate more than broccoli. I can't stand the smell of it. I can't stand the sight of it. And Super Dave is a guy that, you know, Jensen and I and a lot of others consider a friend. I was very disappointed, devastated, disappointed. And I'm not really sure at this point how you're going to be able to rehab your image, because I think your image has taken a big hit with a lot of people. Your credibility has been damaged. Yeah.
I apologize, Maddie, to the masses.
He's going to need like a plate full of nachos, you know, somewhere and be able to get. I know the boys on Follow the Money have Win Some, Lose Some. Matt, I think you nominate the broccoli for Lose Some on that one, but that's okay. We'll get him right. We're coming into his own. He's going to have to eat some fast food with football season upcoming. Before that, though, Matt,
let's do it.
Obviously, highlighting the trade deadline from yesterday, some big moves, and we'll get your thoughts on that, as well as maybe where you fall now with what the Cubs did and then also the Bronx Bombers as well.
You know, I'm also going to say that Culver's is partly responsible for this, because that broccoli should not even be on the menu. I've docked Culver's power rating in the past 2 or 3 points for having broccoli on the menu, and I don't think that's enough. All right, let's get to the trade deadline in baseball. You know, we talked about this on the show last night. I really like what the Cubs did. I think they were aggressive. They're playing with confidence right now. I think the Cubs are getting their act together. And before the season, I bet the Brewers are plus 275 to win that division. I think it's going to be a photo finish. It's going to be a race to the wire. The Brewers are not playing great baseball right now, Jensen. When you look at them, Sunday they had the Miz on the mound against the hapless Angels, and they got shut out and lost 3-0. You can't lose a game like that. They lose again last night to the Pirates. Their lead's down to 5.5 in the division. I think the Cubs are going to be dangerous. These teams have 7 games against each other remaining. And I'm looking right now at FanDuel. The Cubs are plus 410 to win the division. Last night it was plus 450. I think the Brewers are going to have to sweat this out. So I like what the Cubs did. I think that's a team that could get hot here in the final 2 months of the season. I really don't like what the Yankees did. They made a couple decent moves. I like the Luis Garcia move. But the Yankees really, Jensen, when you look at it, I thought they had to at least add one arm, maybe two, to the bullpen. And they didn't do that. I know they're counting on George Lombard. He's been called up. It's a top prospect. He's going to play shortstop, and Volpe's been sent down. They're hoping Judge comes back. And I don't know. Judge might be back at some point in September. Cody Bellinger, Stanton, those guys, when they come back, the Yankees should be fine offensively. I'm just really surprised the Yankees didn't do more to strengthen the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah, a little surprised there, too. That felt like that there were certain teams, we've talked a little bit about it so far in the program, Matt, that are surprises. That Cubs pick for you to run down the Brewers is very interesting, to get that over 4 hours. Might be something I'm going to look to in the portfolio. Hadn't thought about it in that context here. Let's talk about the college football betting guide, because it is out right now. It is spectacular. You've got a lot of write-ups in it. And certainly a team that Jensen and I notified yesterday, just kind of perusing through it, people really do like Notre Dame. And look, I saw in the betting market, they're what, minus $8 to meet the college football playoff. You look at the schedule, and it looks pretty easy, dare I say. What do you make of the top 10 teams that you have out there? And do you really think Notre Dame is the best team in the country entering the season?
At the end of last season, I had Ohio State power rated number 1, Indiana number 2, and Notre Dame number 3. But I had Indiana and Notre Dame in a virtual tie in that 2 spot. If those two played on a neutral, I'm not saying Indiana would have been favored over Notre Dame. You know, and the Irish did not make the playoffs. They've got essentially the entire team back. Now, they did lose 2 running backs who were first-round draft picks, but I've said this for a long time. Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, first-round picks. Running backs are replaceable. And Notre Dame's got plenty of talent at that position. They got plenty of firepower offensively. They're going to be strong on the offensive and defensive lines. It might be the number 1 defense in college football. And I've got Notre Dame power rated number 1 going into the season. Now, one thing about the college football betting guide, I don't rely solely on my own power ratings. Mm. I take Paul Stone's rankings for his top 60, and I take my rankings for my top 60 or so, and then I combine those rankings, and that's how we come up with the top 50. Now, Paul had Ohio State 1, Oregon 2, Notre Dame 3, Georgia 4, Texas 5. And Miami and Indiana. I have Notre Dame 1, Oregon 2, Georgia 3, Ohio State 4, then Texas, Indiana, Miami. But Paul and I were agreed on one thing, that the power rating for the top let's say, five teams is within 2 points, right? So these teams are very, very tight. There's a fine line, not much separation between one and five. I don't think you get a drop-off until you get to number eight. Like, if you're talking about Miami and Indiana or Indiana and Miami in the six and seven spots, there is a drop-off to LSU at number eight. So I think the top seven are rock solid in college football. And somebody asked me Sunday night for a long shot, and I said, really, I don't have a long shot. I like BYU. That's a team outside the top 10 that I like. But if you think back to this time a year ago, Phil Steele had Indiana ranked number 20, and he does position rankings in his magazine. He had Indiana's quarterback position ranked number 26 in the country. All right? So very seldom are you going to have a team ranked in the 20s or underrated like that win a college football championship. It's not going to happen. That's an outlier, and Kurt Cignetti made it happen. So I think you're going to have chalk that prevails in the end. Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Indiana, Miami. I think that's your rock solid top seven right now.
Absolutely love it. And one of my best bets, highlighting three of the top five teams that you have to make the college football playoff. One that always brings warm feelings to my heart is when you, Matt Youmans, talk about that team up north and how bad they could possibly be here this year. Please lay it out for the Buckeye faithful. Kyle Whittingham not coming to the rescue in your eyes for the Wolverines?
All right, so I like the Whittingham hire. I really do. I think that was a home run hire considering the circumstances because you had a fallout from the Jim Harbaugh era and the Sharon Moore mistake, right? And the coaching staff at Michigan last year did a very poor job. And I did capitalize on this as a better last year. I recognized that the Michigan coaching staff was clumsy and lost, and they were doing nothing to improve Bryce Underwood at quarterback. He's got plenty of talent, but he was not getting coached last year, and you could tell it. It was obvious. And then when all the stuff comes out and Sharon Moore gets exposed, you can see why he wasn't getting coached. There were a lot of things going on in that program. Well, I think Kyle Whittingham, you need an adult in the room, and this guy has got integrity. He's got everything you want to kind of rebuild Michigan. But I think the talent level is obviously down from the Harbaugh era. The schedule's degree of difficulty is up. Michigan, this is a loaded Big Ten this year. Absolutely loaded. We just talked about the top seven, and three of those teams are in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana. The Wolverines have to play the Buckeyes and the Ducks on the road, and they host Indiana, Iowa, Penn State, and Oklahoma. Just take those games right there, right? The win total's 8.5. And now the price has been going up on this, obviously, over the past month, where I think more people are catching up, catching on to this a little bit. How is this Michigan team, Jensen, when you look at the schedule, going to win 9 games? I don't think it can happen. So it's going to be 7-5, maybe 8-4, something like that. Play Michigan under 8.5 wins.
You've got a bunch of interesting teams and associated with winning their leagues. One of them is the Louisville. And I know that Tim Murray really likes their quarterback this year. Is that the reason we're going offense that Louisville might be able to pull off a mild upset in the ACC this year?
Well, you know, Miami has never won the ACC. That's amazing.
And wow. The
Hurricanes have never won it.
Yeah.
And there are odds-on favorites to win it this year. I wanted to go contrarian here because we've seen Mario Cristobal lose games he shouldn't lose in the past. And I think Miami's always a bit of a fragile favorite, and everybody's penciling in Miami to win the ACC. So I said, let's look for an alternative option here. And I looked at Louisville. The schedule breaks right for the Cardinals. Don't forget, Jeff Brohm went to Miami last year as a 14-point dog and beat Miami outright. I think that was a Friday night game. So Lincoln Kineholtz, the transfer from Ohio State, is going to be the new quarterback for Louisville. He's a dual-threat guy. He can play. And I decided I was going to go with the Cardinals to win the ACC.
Check out the information. It's fantastic. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Matt, great stuff as always. I did get some text messages during this segment asking, was there hollandaise in the broccoli? No, there was not. It was bone dry. And the picture looked much better than the product. Matt, you were right. I think we can all agree Culver's is truly to blame. We've got a lot more baseball talk coming up next. VSiN by the books.
Tuned in to VC.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circus Survivor, pick one winner every week. Last one standing wins the whole kit and caboodle. And Circa Grandissimo. For the high rollers, $100,000 per entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere in this great country of ours. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. Great having Matt Eumanns on in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time. Much more to dive into as we go with the weeks here and some of the write-ups that we've seen now in the college football betting guide that's out right now. Maybe a surprise, as Matt pointed out here, with Louisville. His top pick to win the ACC, even though Miami is odds on. You know, we're getting some emails. We're getting some text messages, too, about people that are putting in some plays here in Major League Baseball now that the dust has settled with the trade deadline. And I think there are going to be some people, certainly on our network as well, that might be looking at the Yankees and saying, Brian Cashman, did you do enough? Where do we and how do we feel about the Yankees now that the trade deadline has come and gone? This is from a numbers game yesterday, and this is before, obviously, the trade deadline was completed. Let's hear from our own Big Swede.
They're 6-1. And the reason they're 6-1 and they're not like 4-1 is because Aaron Judge is injured. And based on a lot of the news you're hearing, or at least the rumors and speculation out of New York, is there's a lot of questions as to Aaron Judge's health and how that rib's going to look once he does return, if he returns this year for the Yankees. But if Aaron Judge is healthy, if Cody Bellinger is back in this lineup, and they throw out their rotation of Schlittler, your favorite for the Cy Young, who goes tonight, and that number may disappear after his performance tonight. Max Fried, who went healthy, is still an ace. Gerrit Cole is finding his form. Rodon, Weathers, Will Warren, right? So many arms. Two or three of those guys are going to the bullpen. The bullpen could use some work, but we talk about mashing, man. They've got plenty of guys who can keep up on with the Dodgers offense if their pitching does their job.
Interesting comments from Dustin. Cam Schiller obviously did not have a great outing last night. He's still the odds-on favorite to win Cy Young at minus $1.30. Dylan Cease, the next betting choice, at plus $1.10. But, Jensen, that is the concern, right? It's about Aaron Judge. It's about his health going forward. And whether or not, as Dustin alluded to, you know, we're all just assuming it's just a matter of time that he's going to be back this year. And we don't know that. We don't know that that's going to be the case here as we're in August now. And the end of the regular season, obviously, is in September at the end of next month. Where are you on Judge and the Yankees? And then we'll get to Brian Cashman here in what they were able to do and maybe not able to do, depending on what we think Aaron Judge is going to be able to do before this regular season is over.
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I still have that 287-1 future with the Knicks winning the title cross-sport parlay. And, of course, I would have loved to have seen a little bit more impactful of a move or two from Brian Cashman. But all that being said, you're looking at where the Yankees are at this moment. They are basically what, six games up as far as being in the postseason as a wild card member right now. And ironically, if the playoffs were to start today, it would be Yankees, Red Sox in the wild card round, just what we all were hoping for. I think the intrigue ends up being if you do get, let's be bullish for a moment. Let's say that Judge and Bellinger both come back first week of September. Okay, that's a decent amount of on-ramp there. The final three and a half weeks to get to see, you know, Major League pitching day in and day out. They're probably going to DH, you know, Bellinger at some point just to keep him off his feet. And then you'll probably mix in a day or two of off days for Judge just to allow that rest and recovery to continue to heal him. But I think that's part of where Dustin is, and I can appreciate where he's at with that. As far as bettable numbers, I don't know if I want to jump in on the Yankees at plus 260 to win the American League right now. If I do, then I might as well just go play a little Yankee Dodger World Series exacta for almost 6-1. And be able to find a dance partner that you might like just for a single wager on the other side. That's the only way I could do that. Red Sox are intriguing here with what happened not only for the last 3 weeks, but also what they did at the deadline. And you're also waiting for them to get, you know, Garrett Crochet back. So the Red Sox have themselves in a position now, and especially with the upcoming schedule, they finish up with the White Sox on Thursday. Then they've got the Athletics going nowhere. Toronto did a nice little job of buying and selling, getting ready for 2027, mm-hmm. if we have baseball. So the schedule really lays out well here for the next 7 to 10 days for the Boston Red Sox as well.
And that's the thing. Objects in the rear view might be closer than they appear. And I'm not talking about, you know, for the Yankees. I'm talking about the Red Sox. Red Sox are only 2 games back of the Yankees right now for second place in the East. Sox are 5.5 back. Yankees are 3.5 back of the Rays. And the Rays, you know, went up a game yesterday with their win over Colorado and the Yankees loss to the Cardinals. So at some point, that sand in the hourglass in the regular season is going to start going the other way. Now, Brian Cashman did speak about Aaron Judge. But what did he really say about his health and when the Yankees can really expect their captain to be back?
We currently are still very optimistic that he's going to return, you know, but there's challenges with all that, too. While he's returning, you know, whenever that time frame is and ramping him up and getting his timing down and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't rule out any of it, you know, but I know that I can only follow the guidelines so far that. The timeline and the time frame, you know, a pretty high likelihood and optimism that, yeah, he fits that time frame for him to get back and join us. And that's what I'm hoping and holding on to. And I know that that's what he believes. And I know that's what the doctors believe. But, you know, it's always a moving target, too. And until you get closer to the comfort of deployment.
What was that? I heard the voice go up at 1.2, which is always kind of a tell. Jensen, I don't know what you make of that from Brian Cashman yesterday, but I don't know that when I hear that I'm any closer to believing that Aaron Judge is a moving target when he's getting deployed to play again. I don't know what I just heard, but if I'm a Yankee fan and I hear that, I'm going, I might just be more confused than ever as to what's going on with Aaron Judge.
Masterclass in non-speak and just word salad. Always a time of the baseball season. We hear this a lot in Cleveland with Chris Antonetti. Just says a lot, and there's really nothing that comes out of it. So it's not surprising. And he has no reason to give away the timeline on that. He can be as vague as he wants, so I can appreciate that side of it. If I'm reading the tea leaves and kind of knowing where this injury has been, I would say that optimistically first week of September for Aaron Judge, there's no reason to push him right now, Dave. And even just kind of looking at where the Yankee schedule is, you make that comeback last night against the Cardinals. I had Yankees -1, thought I was going to get the rabbit out of the hat after going down 6-0. They end up blowing it with the bullpen, which was supposed to be a strength. I was told. And so now you look at kind of where their upcoming schedule is. You got 3 against Atlanta after the Cardinals, 3 against Seattle, who's really struggled to score. Then you go north of the border to take on Toronto. You go to Baltimore, where you've handled them. Then back home against Toronto before a pretty big-time homestand. 3 against Houston, and then 4 in 3 days against the Red Sox with a day-night double dip on Saturday. So you've got, A, a lot of home games, not a lot of travel. B, you're kind of targeting that first week of September, if you're a Judge fan, you know, that's they're going to be on the West Coast and against the Angels and against the Padres. But if you want to wait even a little bit more, come home and get back in the saddle against the Rockies when they return home on September 8th, I could see that being a viable possibility to have 3 whole weeks to kind of get him on ramped and ready for postseason baseball.
You know, I know we talk about it in different contexts, certainly with the Dodgers and their starters. They've got an all-star team that's on the IL that they can bring back here eventually, and they can get healthy here for the postseason. For the Yankees, you mentioned the health. Look, of course they want to win the American League East. Who doesn't? But as long as they get in and they're healthy, look, there's still the betting choice to come out of the American League. Jensen, that feels like what Cashman might really be kind of regulated to at this point is, let's just get these guys healthy. And yeah, of course, we'll make the push. And if we don't get there to win the East, that's okay. Because fully loaded, nobody's beaten us in the American League here. Is that their mentality here?
And that feels the same, you know, idea as what they had even at the All-Star break of we get Max Fried back, which they have. You get Garrett Cole now, who's looking like an ace. Schlittler will be fine. And, hey, bonus if you get Carlos Rodon. Ryan Weather's been really good, too. He's going to go tonight. He has really picked it up the last couple of weeks. So they're so loaded. They're so deep. When they're healthy, they're going to be fine. And I think that's the long game is let's get Judge and Bellinger right. And if they're right there in September, then we'll take anyone who wants to come at us knowing the arms that they can run out there.
Yeah, and they did add two bats at the deadline. So maybe not exactly what they were looking for, but at least Cashman did put some at least temporary fixes in place there until they can get Judge back. Much more to get to here in the trade deadline. College football betting guide, lots to talk about right here at VSiN by the Books.